welcome to another exciting episode of People Radio and Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the drone exploding over your house of free speech. Because we come at and we explode, and we explode with free speech. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage. You can mail it in to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Round Rock, Texas, Suite 302, then Round Rock, Texas, zip code 78664. Phone it in, 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Okay, we've got with us Paul Stevenson. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patrick. Great to be with you as ever.
Yes, indeed. And you know how you get these drones exploding over your house all the time? No big deal.
Yeah, I get a couple of them every week, really, so I'm sort of numb to it now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of fades into the background. But so the BBC is reporting. Well, what is the BBC? I'll tell you what, before we get to what the BBC is reporting today, I just called up a blank web page, right? A new browser window. And this is what Microsoft wants me to know. Ukraine war ended. Putin is sick with cancer, right? And you scroll down, there's a nice picture of Melania. See how Donald Trump's spouse transformed from a model into the first lady. I don't know about that. And then scroll down a little more. Something that's really strange about Donald Trump. That's a headline. Something is really strange about Donald Trump. And you keep going down, and then, oh, there's something about Carl Reiner dying. And then finally, is Putin afraid of a coup? Oh, and then could Donald Trump pardon himself? I mean, this is what Microsoft, which is one of the biggest companies in the world, is what Microsoft wants us to know. They're trying to keep us informed. And have they missed anything?
Yeah, they might have missed the assassination attempt on Vladimir Putin, which happened to hit the Kremlin, of all places. And I think it was the top of the building, which is his office. There's like an oval there with a flag on it. Now, this, I've seen footage of this. This drone hit the top of that, kind of just almost where the flagpole hit, you know, meets the top of the dome thing. And there was a small explosion, but no damage. It looked like, you know, any of the power of this thing had been negated somehow or whatever. But there was a flash, flames, but it didn't look like very minimal damage. The Russians claim that they may have disarmed it in terms of any lethality, but it was apparently loaded with 17 kilograms of plastic explosives. Putin wasn't there, apparently. He was at another, I think he was at another home or another office he has somewhere else. But it was at his residence in Moscow, in the Kremlin. So I don't know what to make of it. It's a bit worrying. I'm just looking at it now, actually. Yeah, it's strange. It's like you just see like a flame, like a sort of small explosion. But you know, it's a bit worrying for Russia's security if they're able to hit the Kremlin like that. I mean, Putin's office, essentially. But they claim that they foiled the attack, the Russian forces, and they've termed the attack an act of terror, and said there was no damage done to the Kremlin complex, and. All rather strange. Putin's spokesperson Dmitry Peskov told RIA Novosti that the Russian leader was not in the Kremlin. And the Ukrainians have since come out and said that the Russians did it themselves as a precursor to a bigger attack on Ukraine. It says that Putin was at his Novo Ogaryovo residence near Moscow when the attack took place. I'm probably not pronouncing that very well. Novo Ogaryovo, that's probably it. And but as usual, Ukrainians have said they had, quote, nothing to do with it. But you know, the Ukrainians incessantly lie. I mean, they said they had nothing to do with the bridge that was blown up in Crimea. They said they had nothing to do with Daria Dugin's murder, or Dugina. They said they had nothing to do with that other blogger in St. Petersburg. So they never have anything to do with anything. But, you know, for listen, there's only a handful of international actors that if this was, you know, from outside the Kremlin, if this wasn't Russia themselves, that could pull something like that off. So, I mean, the worrying thing is that it could be the United States, it could be the Brits. And then now you're into a situation where, you know, you're having an attack on, you know, the leader of a, you know, of a major player, a state like in Russia. So, you know, if that's the new standard, the new normal, well, I mean, that's the equivalent of someone, you know, a drone heading the door of 10 Downing Street, you know? So we'll see. Russia has said that they reserve the right to retaliate with something like anything, everything and anything we have. But they've already said that they there's going to be revenge for this. What that will look like, I don't know, but it's probably not going to be pretty.
Yeah. So, the Ukrainians have been involved in things pretty obviously. So Dugin's daughter's assassination, which was probably aimed at Dugin himself, Alexander, that's his name, right? Alexander Dugin. Now, and I guess you mentioned the Kursk Bridge between mainland Russia and Crimea. Had they not claimed responsibility for that?
No, they don't claim responsibility for anything. If you want, I can
want to clarify that. So how, like, recently there was some sort of attack on an oil refining facility,
right?
A minor one.
Yeah,
did they claim responsibility for that?
I'm not sure, actually. Possibly. But no, I think they denied that too. I need to check that, but that whole thing was blown out of all proportion anyway. You know, it had the usual hysteria of mainstream media. I mean, it blew up some, like, you know, it blew up an oil tanker, which is going to give off a lot of smoke. I mean, compared to the destruction, I mean, this counteroffensive is kind of laughable because, you know, the Ukrainians are on record themselves of saying they lack ammunition. Particularly ammunition. The Italians are sending them howitzers that don't work. Who else? I think was it Sweden or someone sent them MiG fighter jets that can't actually fly. So the European Union is reimbursing all these countries if they send weapons to Ukraine. So everybody, seems like all these countries are saying, no problem. You know what? They're failing to inform the Ukrainians and the EU, presumably, that we'll send the weapons, just none of them work. But, you know, give us the money.
When Crazy Eddie the car dealer says, I'll take any trade in. People are just trying to get rid of their stuff.
Yeah. Save me the trouble, you know. I don't have to go to the skip myself, you know. Thanks a lot. I'll pay you to do it, you know.
So the Ukraine, it is constantly asking for money and weapons, right? I mean, it is a beggar state. It has become a completely beggar state. And the people who run Ukraine obviously are skimming off of it big time. And
yeah,
they've got
million,
Swiss
apparently, too. Yeah, Zelensky's apparently skimming $400 million himself.
Yeah, and is that in? It's probably not in Switzerland. It's probably in Israel or Tel Aviv or somewhere. But
I'm surprised it's that low. I'm surprised he hasn't skimmed more. I bet you it is more. That's just what someone found out. I think it was Cy Hirsch who said that.
Mm-hmm. So this is going on, and in order to keep the money flowing in and the weapons flowing in, they need to demonstrate that they're having some sort of impact. And so, like, a drone with how many pounds of plastic explosives?
17.
17 pounds of plastic explosives.
Yeah, it would kill you if it hit you.
If it hit you, it would kill you. But if it's blowing up, if it hits the roof of a large building, how much is it going? I don't know how much destruction it's going to do.
Not
I don't
much.
Know. Probably not that much, but, you know, it's if nothing else, it would be symbolic. It would get Lindsey Graham's blood flowing. You know that. And one other aspect of this is Lindsey Graham has called for the assassination of Putin. He's calling for the assassination. Mm. Now, he's calling for Russians to do it. I don't think he's calling for Ukrainians or Americans to do it. But assassination of leaders is something that has been taboo for a long time.
Exactly. Since Hitler, probably.
Yeah, it goes way, way back. I couldn't tell you how far it goes back. But, you know, even in the Franco-Prussian War, Napoleon III was captured. He was captured in combat. He was leading troops, and he got captured. He wasn't assassinated. He wasn't put down.
But you're dealing with a bunch of Jews, so they don't care about that. You know, that's why Saddam Hussein got taken out. They killed Gaddafi. They tried to kill Adolf Hitler. And they tried to kill Putin, because these people don't have any standards. They're absolute human garbage.
Yeah, and of course, once you open... And who knows who took out Kennedy, right?
Same crowd. Yeah, the same people. Well, I mean, these are the same people that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. They don't have any standards. They're a complete... It's an insult to even call them gypples. It's an insult to travelers who, if you ever meet travelers, are actually quite sort of charismatic and fun sometimes. I mean, you don't want to believe in your car keys lying around.
Nobody in America knows what a traveler is unless they're a big-time Tyson Fury fan.
Yeah, well, a lot of the travelers are quite colorful, quite colorful people. You know, it's just like they're almost childlike. And, you know, in one sense, there's no harm in them. But these Jews, they're different.
But so I'm just asking, our people don't know who the travelers are. They're Irish gypsies. That's about all I know. What are the travelers?
Well, I don't know. People say they're Irish, Irish travelers. You've got Irish travelers and you've got Romanian travelers. But the fact, the names should give it away. They're not really from anywhere. They're travelers. So they'll park up their caravans in a site somewhere and they'll stay there for 2 or 3 months. And then you'll drive past one day and they'll be gone. And that's what they do. There are some of them in Ireland. There are a lot of them in Romania. They tend to make a lawful nuisance of themselves, you know. They usually tend to be quite antisocial. The IRA got rid of them up in Derry, up in where I lived. The Provisional IRA had a lot of, actually, believe it or not, they had a lot of cooperation with the RUC, the Royal Ulster Constabulary, because they were able to do things that the RUC just couldn't do. So the travellers, you know, they'd annoy old women stealing handbags. They'd go around stealing stuff out of your back garden and just generally being antisocial. And this became a bit intolerable in Derry City in the 70s, I think, or it was the early 80s at some point. And the IRA just went up there and basically shot the place up. They didn't kill anybody, but they just sent a message. They just, like, you know, they took out the equivalent of a Tommy gun and completely just sprayed the whole place while they were sleeping. And then the next morning, they were gone.
Yeah, to the extent I've looked into it, the, you know, Romanian travelers, they're gypsies.
Yeah, they're worse, I think. I've seen some of them over here. They're awful drinkers and antisocial, lying right in the street, drinking the street, playing loud music. God, annoying people.
Yeah. Well, the gypsies have been in Europe for a while, but they're from India. The word gypsy is because it was thought they were from Egypt. They're visibly somewhat swarthy. I've seen them in Yugoslavia, in Poland, as far east as Khabarovsk in the Soviet Far East, the Russian Far East. They're all over, and there are even small communities in places like Oregon, and maybe they're there for the Gibbs. But the Irish travelers, from what I can tell, and I think from genetics and everything, they're just Irish who took up this gypsy-like lifestyle, 4 or 5 centuries ago? So...
Maybe, but I don't really know that much about them.
Yeah. Anyway, though, that's kind of
them, there's a few of them up a road here from me. You know, if you go up, usually about once a month, the police will be outside their house for you. But anyway, no. And the Jews have a history of being social outcasts in history in Europe, because they're real criminals. And if you allow them, they don't go around stealing your furniture out of your back garden. They just steal your whole country. They steal, you know, the future of your country, your life, your children's life. They're just a total criminal syndicate. So you have to keep them suppressed if you have any sense. Unfortunately, the West hasn't had any sense for the best part of 100 years after we allowed them in from Eastern Europe and Russia at the end of the last century, the previous century. And now you're seeing what's happening. The West is destroyed. This is what happens. You know, that's why historically you keep your foot on their neck, because they're a wrecking ball. And so they blow up Nord Stream pipelines. They have assassination attempts on leaders. They have no standards. These people, as I say, these are like sinister type gypsies. And except they're not, as I say, stealing furniture out of your back garden. They're the head of the DOJ and Homeland Security over there, and the central banks all right across Europe, and everywhere of power and influence there you find them. What could possibly go wrong? And you can't talk about them anymore. You can't talk about them, of course. And they get a pass on everything. They can come out with these crude, aggressive anti-Semitic laws, which basically amounts to no criticism or not even mentioning of us, and they get away with it.
They do get away with it. And what you said is very, very harsh, but it's not incorrect. It's so harsh that people, if they haven't reached like a certain threshold, they hear that assessment and it just can't penetrate. It can't penetrate people, largely because they've been
Jew-washed.
They deluged with philo-Semitic propaganda their whole lives, heavy-handed and subtle, just a whole variety. You know, you watch movies or TV shows, and they'll have characters maybe who are explicitly Jewish or maybe who aren't. Maybe their Jewish background is never explicitly mentioned, but they've got Jewish characteristics, and they're funny and they're positive characters, and they've got Jewish characteristics. And so when you come across people in real life who talk that way or look that way, you're going to have better feelings about them for the conditioning. And at the same time, did you ever see the cartoon Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, I used to love it, man.
Yeah, and so you know Freddy.
Let me at him, Scooby. Remember Scrappy? let me at him, Uncle Scrappy.
Well, anyway, Freddy he's blonde, and he looks like a frat boy, and he wasn't this was made around 1970, and he wasn't a negative character. But if you look at movies from later in the 70s and the 80s, these Jewish movies, they would the heroes would be multicultural, always with very distinctly Jewish people, even if they weren't explicitly Jewish, but very Jewish types of nerd people. They would be the good guys, and then there would be waspy frat boys that there was always somebody that looked just like Freddy, with with the ascot and the sweater and
Do you have to ruin Scooby Doo for me, Patrick?
Okay, and Shaggy. I've divulged this recently that I was friends with Shaggy. I was friends with I was a friendly acquaintance with Casey Kasem, who did the voice for Shaggy, who was very based, and we got to know each other because he was a very harsh critic of Israel. Although he couldn't, there's a limit to what he could do openly himself, being somebody who was living in Hollywood. But if he came across an academic who was doing work or public speaking in opposition to Israeli policies, then he was very supportive. I'll tell you that much. Mm. So
I digressed a little bit. What I was going to say, there was a whole big, hullabaloo and propaganda about this attack on Russian soil, this whatever it was, this tanker or whatever. But it's well known that even Stoltenberg admitted this, that there's a serious lack of ammunition on the Ukrainian side. And this counteroffensive, the Russians are countering their counteroffensive by blowing up weapons and fuel depots. So they're preempting, they're eliminating and disarming them basically as much as they possibly can to thwart this counteroffensive. And like I said, they made a big deal of this attack on Russian soil with the smoke going up. I saw footage of what the Russians say was a fuel or a weapons depot, and this thing looked like they had set.
Well, in the merry month of May, now from me home I started, left the girls and two were nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear, kissed me down.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
So well, I could no longer stand it, blood began to boil. Gentler I was, there was impure old Aaron's oil. They began abusing her army, so well, says I, me shillelagh, I let fly. Galway boys were by, and so I was a howling wind below. Hooray, the giant in the affray, quickly clear the way for the rocky road. It's a double and one, two, three, four, five. Hunt to Aaron, turn her down the rocky road.
Like I said, they made a big deal of this attack on Russian soil with the smoke gone up. I saw footage of what the Russians say was a fuel or a weapons depot. And this thing looked like they had sent, it was almost like it looked like one of those smaller tactical nukes hit it. Because this thing, man, went up like a mushroom cloud. It was a huge, even the guy who was filming it, he was probably like maybe 3 or 4 miles away and the camera was shaking. It was a huge explosion. So they're blowing up like weapons and fuel depots, and the Ukrainians are already low on ammunition. So I really can't see this counteroffensive amounting to much. I mean, they're launching really a media campaign rather than a military campaign for the most part, I think, you know?
So, no, that's an extremely accurate statement. It is a media campaign. So Russia is trying to neutralize the enemy's military. Right, they are trying to demilitarize Ukraine.
It was always one of their original goals.
Right, and I suppose people at the National Security Council and the White House and the Pentagon, they want to see the map change colors. But the Ukrainians themselves, I mean, yeah, they want to because they are so dependent on other countries for everything, and they have their economies in shambles. They're not able to produce anything. And so they're, this is just kind of this giant, what do you call it? An extortion game for them. It's
just one big scam.
Yeah. And so they need the media. And this is a point that others have made, that, for instance, when Zelensky came to the United States a few months ago to ask for a new $60 billion aid package, he had kept his troops trying to defend an indefensible village somewhere. I think it was maybe on the outskirts of Bakhmut, and talking about blood flowing in the streets. Yeah. If you remember that speech, and it was just he was just throwing away the lives of his service people so that he could go and make this speech about blood flowing in the village, blood flowing in the streets. It was all
and keep the money flowing, and keep the money flowing for him and his little cronies.
It was all propaganda, and so much of this really is it is media, it is propaganda, and you know, if you look at what the Ukrainian military is doing, often it doesn't make military sense. It only makes sense if you're thinking of it in terms of propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, just a quote from Mykhailo Podlyak. I don't even know how to pronounce that. He's a Ukrainian presidential spokesman. He said, with response to the attack, quote, "Such staged reports by Russia should be considered solely as an attempt to prepare an information background for a large-scale terrorist attack on Ukraine." He went on to say, just give me a second. "Ukraine does not attack the Kremlin because, firstly, that does not solve any military aims. Attacking the Kremlin would be extremely disadvantageous from the point of view of preparing our offensive measures and would only serve to provoke Russia to even more radical actions." Now, I wouldn't, but I don't know. This would, you know, would the Kremlin would a drone be able to hit the Kremlin? Is there surely they would have that place secure to the hilt? In which case, maybe, you know, maybe this guy's right. I mean, maybe the Russians have decided they want to take Zelensky out. Maybe Putin's under pressure, because I think there is pressure on Putin back home to, you know, to go into Kiev and try and end that regime. Because there's, you know, even though the kill ratio is very much in Russia's favor, the Russians have lost tens of thousands of men too. So that's a lot of disgruntled people back home thinking, you know, if we took out this regime in Kiev, we wouldn't have to do all this killing, and, you know, on our side as well. So who knows? You know, maybe it's a precursor to, you know, so that there's, like this guy said, I don't know. I mean, obviously, but it seems strange to me that there a drone could hit the Kremlin like that, you know.
Yeah, now Russia it's a very big country, extremely big, obviously. You look on the map and geographically, it's enormous. And it's not as if the Ukrainians are Chinamen or Ethiopians who would stand out in a crowd in Russia. So, you know, it's plausible that Ukrainians could have done this. I don't think it would have been a drone that was launched from Ukraine and sailed, you know, flew over Russia, or could it have been something that was launched from much closer by? I don't know. But your point is, it is a good point, because we've got, I know people around me, people who call into RBN, people I talk to in America, people who whose opinions mean nothing to Vladimir Putin, but they make the point that why doesn't he just take out the Ukrainian leadership? Why is he sacrificing the lives of so many Russians and so many Ukrainians? I mean, you've got just tens of thousands. The Ukrainian death toll is almost certainly well into the six figures. It's probably well over 100,000.
Maybe 300,000 of them. Yeah, maybe, you know.
Why couldn't he just take out the leadership? And people are,
well, I'm a little bigger man, I'm beginning at teen, if teach store more and a little lolly green, and I know I'm from the leafy from the basement to the zoo.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
I got the sky.
Why couldn't he just take out the leadership? And people are mad about it. People in America that I know are mad about it. I'm sure that sentiment is shared by a very large number of Russians. Now, my response to it is that, you know, Putin, he's always showed restraint. He's been a very restrained leader. Some might even say timid. He was a lawyer before he joined the KGB. He was a lawyer. He graduated from law school. So he has that background. And then also, very importantly, the whole point of the American State Department aggression towards Russia was to justify sanctions. It wasn't to overthrow Putin militarily, but it was to justify sanctions that would cripple the Russian economy. And these sanctions were completely unprecedented in their scope, in the types of things that were – I mean, they just seized assets. And the idea was to create a collapsed economy in Russia through sanctions – and then get the Russian people to overthrow Vladimir Putin. Well, you know, that's not going to happen, but it was a plausible strategy. And had China not backed up Russia from the get-go, well, would it What would India have done? What would Pakistan have done? What would Turkey have done? What would Saudi Arabia have done? You could have had a scenario where the entire world was isolating Russia. It didn't happen. And had early on, had Russia targeted Zelensky while he was being feted as a hero across the globe, this could have blown apart the diplomatic alliance that Putin was able to cobble together. Well, it might be that now 17, what is, how many months are we into this? 16 months, 17 months into this, or 15 months, whatever.
About 15 months.
Yeah, 15 months into it, that he might feel, okay, we've now have the solidarity we need. You know, all these countries are trying to join BRICS and they're, you know, want into the Shanghai Cooperation Council or whatever. That at this point, maybe our diplomatic situation is strong enough that we can do this.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. And also, I think if he had done that at the start as well, it would have been met with some maybe repulsion's too strong, but I think it would have been met with what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. Some eyebrows would have been raised by China and stuff like that. It would have been probably seen as being crude. It might even have, you know, caused some anxiety on other leaders to think, well, you know, this the Russian Federation was prepared to take out the leader of a nation that it falls out with, which wouldn't look good. And maybe there is some of that still going on, and maybe this drone, whether it's genuine or not, or even if Russia did it, you know, that would probably, you know, be met with more support if it's deemed that Kiev has had an assassination attempt on Putin. Then it's fair game to have an assassination attempt on Zelensky. But I actually do think that's probably what's going to happen now. You know, you're going to start to see, you know, more bombs dropping around Kiev. Zelensky's in Finland at the minute. Anyway, so maybe he'll stay there. The end of that quote, the guy, the spokesman for the Ukrainian presidential spokesman, he said Ukraine wages an exclusively defensive war and does not attack targets on the territory of the Russian Federation, which is demonstrably a lie.
Right. And so it's been taboo to assassinate other leaders. And if you are Xi Jinping or you're Prime Minister Modi in India or you're Erdogan in Turkey, it's not a precedent you want to see established, right? So it is something that is going to be a very tough sell. And maybe this isn't, if this is a false flag, and I think that's what you're alluding to, that maybe this is a false flag so that the Russians can...
I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility. Obviously, I don't know. I just find it strange that, maybe I give too much credit to the security of the Kremlin. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, a drone is... So we had in the United States 22 years ago, you had four airliners hijacked, apparently. I mean, they seem to have been hijacked. I accept that they were hijacked. And two were flown into skyscrapers in New York. One was flown into the Pentagon. Another one was supposed to be flown into the White House, but it crashed before it got into the Washington, D.C. area. Now, is a drone harder to stop or easier to stop than an airliner, a hijacked airliner? And
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what's the range of these drones. I don't know what the range is.
Well, Moscow. It's the second one. It's the second drone attempt on that. There's a claim of an assassination. There was one last week that it crashed about, you know, only a few kilometers before it was supposed to reach its target. But there was an assassination attempt by a drone last week as well. So this is the second one.
So who knows? I mean, Moscow How far is it? Is this like 500 meters from, 500 miles from northern Ukraine? Is this something that their drones, I don't know what the range of these drones is.
I think they can travel pretty far. But, you know, it is possible, you know, that I am giving too much credit to the Kremlin security, because there is precedence for this, because the IRA almost killed Margaret Thatcher in the 80s. They blew up number 11 Downing Street. I think they put a hole in the building of number 10, but it didn't kill the Prime Minister. And that's a bunch of farmers from Northern Ireland, you know what I mean?
Well, here's another one. There was a, was he French? Was he American? There was an aviator, a private aviator in the 1980s who landed his plane in Red Square. Do you remember that?
No.
Might have been too young. But yeah, it was in the middle of the Cold War, and some aviator from a Western country drove like a little Cessna plane. I think it was like a propeller plane or something, and landed it in Red Square.
Yeah, Rudolf Hess did the same thing and landed in Scotland during the war.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
crazy,
I don't know.
Crazy guy. Oh, dear. Yeah, who knows? But you would have just thought that generally the security around that particular building will be completely bulletproof, and particularly in the current climate and with an assassination attempt that they claim was made last week on his life, that just simply would not be allowed to happen. Who knows? We'll probably never know. I think it's going to be immaterial now anyway, because I do think you're going to – I think there is – I think what's driving this, if I'm right, that the Russians did it – or I'm not saying the Russians did it, but if that theory is correct, it's probably coming from pressure at home, the frustration that we spoke about. Because anytime I ever hear any Russians talking about this, there is that frustration. You know, you've got some Moscowites who are disgruntled, because who don't stand for anything, who've got a lot of money and a lot of rich, you know, women in Moscow and maybe Sochi and St. Petersburg are disgruntled because they can't go to Milan and buy their, you know, £10,000 and Gucci bags and handbags and shoes and dresses. By the way, the boutiques in Milan are pretty disgruntled about it too, I can assure you. But these people don't stand for anything. But the majority of the Russian population are not in that category. And they realize that these sanctions and the Russophobia that went around the world is genuine hatred towards them. And it's garnered this nationalistic fervor in Russia. And they hate Zelensky. And they want this guy done and done with. So, you know, maybe that's just, you know, that this is a precursor to it. But, you know, even if the Ukrainians did it, or it was done by the British or the US, the pressure is going to mount on Putin to do something with Zelensky after that, you know, because now the standard has been set. If it's fair game to try and take out our president, well, fair game to take out yours.
Well, and of course, the International Court of Justice, what a misnomer there. They've indicted Vladimir Putin. Haven't Russian officials say that after the war, Ukrainian government leaders will be put on trial? Have they made that?
Certainly the big guys, that, you know, Zelensky and probably the propagandists and their defense minister, as I call them, their no defense ministry.
And perhaps what we're going to see is more missile strikes in Kiev, because Kiev, I know there's been missile strikes, but given the missile barrages and artillery barrages in the battle zones, like in Bakhmut, that Russia has launched, Kiev has been pretty spared. And maybe you'll see enough of an increase in missile strikes in Kiev that the government leaders are going to say, well, actually, maybe it's time to get out of town while the getting is good. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the Ukrainians have said that this counteroffensive hasn't started because of the weather and because of the mud. But I think, you know, it's also, you know, important to have some soldiers and some ammunition if you want to have a counteroffensive. And the West don't talk about it, but the Ukrainians are not just depleted in artillery and ammunition, but they are depleted in manpower. You know, there's so many of them that have been killed. In fact, there's a couple of Canadian mercenaries that died yesterday, I think, guy 21, guy 27. I mean, you think these guys would do some research before they go over there and get themselves killed? And in other news, the Wagner Group have said that they have killed one of the Ukrainians' top commanders. What's his name? General Ihor Tansyura. He was killed on his way to Bakhmut. And the strikes, they have escalated away from the east there. There's a lot more strikes in central Ukraine and in Kiev. Apparently, there was a strike that only landed about 2 or 3 kilometers from where Zelensky's supposed to be, you know?
Well, we'll see. Oh, by the way, Matthias Rust is a German aviator known for his flight that ended with a landing near Red Square in Moscow on May 28th, 1987. He was 18 years old at the time.
As now, you do.
I mean, as an 18-year-old or 17, I probably would have been too mature at 18, but at 17, who knows?
He's probably a uni agent. Yeah.
Yeah. One of these days, maybe I'll tell about my exploits in the Russian embassy as a teenager, but that's or the Soviet embassy. Anyway.
Yeah. Imagine that. You know. You go to uni. What were you up to at the weekend, mate? We found a really good club, man. Beautiful women. We drank all night. What do you do? Flew a plane into Red Square.
It says he flew from Helsinki in Finland to Moscow, being tracked several times by Soviet air defense forces and civilian air traffic controllers, as well as Soviet Air Force interceptor aircraft. So it's not as if he snuck through their defenses. But
they had mercy, did they?
Well, it says the Soviet fighters did not receive permission to shoot him down. But it does say his airplane was mistaken for friendly aircraft several times. But, you know, he was a foreigner. He was a West German. So anyway, these weird things do happen. I'm sure there's similar examples of weird things happen. Wasn't there a plane that flew into the Chrysler building or something decades and decades ago, maybe in the 30s? I don't know. Weird things have happened. Yeah.
Can't remember. I'm trying to think if there's anything else in it. Yeah. So Prigozhin, the head of the Wagner Group, this guy has been killed. He's apparently the head of the territorial defense forces, and he was killed on his way to Bakhmut by an artillery strike. Didn't even make it to Bakhmut to see the action.
Well, and so what does that do to the average life expectancy? It's kind of like negative time, right? The average life expectancy at the front is supposed to be 4 hours.
4 hours.
Getting people don't even get to the front. They're killed before they even get to the front.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange, isn't it, to think that in this day and age there's a war being fought, which is, you know, in the same sort of category as World War One, that level of misery and trenches. And although, you know, you hear stories of these guys, some of them, you know, it's been on several tours in Iraq and stuff, and they turned on their heels and went home. They got out there and they're like, we've never seen anything like this. Anytime you listen to these, and I find it fascinating, the testimonies of these guys, international guys, be them Australians or Canadians or Brits or Americans or whatever, that go over to Ukraine, they all say the same thing. The artillery and the rockets and the mortars, it just seems constant. It's just a constant shelling thing. The Russians, as soon as if there's like one Ukrainian identified, it's just all out, you know, barrage. So, they've got no shortage of artillery. I think they've got some very, very professional soldiers. And there's all our soldiers who are probably these guys who have been, you know, recruited and had less training. And maybe they're paranoid and scared, but they think, you know, if I was out there, Patrick, right, and I've had 3 months training or whatever, and I've just been at university or I've done my normal job, and the next thing I've got a bunch of mad Ukrainians trying to kill me. If I'm in a tank or if I'm sitting behind a, you know, if I'm controlling some artillery unit and I see, you know, 2 or 3 Ukrainians, I'd be the same. I'd be like, well, why take the risk? We've got plenty of artillery. Just keep firing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and for these people who have combat experience in Iraq or Afghanistan, you know, they were over with massive air support. They were on the American side or, you know, the Allied side, and they just had massive technical and weaponry superiority, and they were fighting against, in effect, a guerrilla insurgency that, you know, granted, it was dangerous. It could take them out with sniper fire, with an improvised...
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Weaponry superiority, and they were fighting against, in effect, a guerrilla insurgency that, you know, granted, it was dangerous. It could take them out with sniper fire, with an improvised explosive device, with a suicide bomber. So it wasn't as if they weren't facing any danger, but they had the vast preponderance of weaponry on their side. And then to go into a situation like Ukraine, which to the extent it's disproportional in terms of personnel, it's not really disproportional, But in terms of weaponry, it certainly is. The Russians are able to manufacture and supply their side with effectively unlimited artillery and missiles. And the Ukrainians have to beg from around the world, and they're depleting the stocks around the world, but they're no match. And so, you know, if you're used to just beating up little kindergartners, and you think you're a great fighter because you can beat up kindergartners, and then you actually run into somebody who's substantial, maybe an Irish traveler, maybe Tyson Fury, it's going to be another story.
No, yeah, exactly. You know, I'm sure it wasn't pleasant out in Iraq at times, but, you know, somebody gets injured, helicopters in, flies them out 8 miles into the desert where there's a big tent where they get patched up, and they're, you know, they're in the canteen, you know, 3 hours later. There is no canteens near Bakhmut where they get picked up. If a helicopter tries to come in and rescue the injured, they get, the helicopter joins the casualty list.
Right. We're almost at the end here. Oh, go ahead and finish your point.
Well, no, I was going to say there was one young American guy I saw an interview. It was very interesting. He was obviously clearly traumatized by the whole event, and he'd probably never be the same again. But he was saying, you know, they're running around the forests, and he just said you never felt safe. It's like as if they had this feeling all the time that they were just being watched. And this is the, you know, the intelligence, reconnaissance, and, you know, surveillance superiority that the Russians have. And it is like that. They have vast areas where they see everything. And so these guys never felt safe. They just, like, they could barely sleep. They're in trenches, sleeping with one eye open, you know. And this is nothing. You know, if any of those guys out in Iraq, well, they went there and they see what a real war is, you know.
Mm-hmm. And last year, about a year ago at this time, maybe it was June of last year, there was the steelworks, I think it was in Mariupol, on the Sea of Azov, the Azov steelworks. And there were Ukrainian forces that had gone into this tunnel network underneath the steelworks, and there was a battle raging there. And there were several efforts to evacuate certain personnel. There was rumors that it was a British general or something like that, but there were helicopters would fly in trying to evacuate somebody, and the helicopters just kept getting shot down, and they were essentially suicide. None of them successfully landed and evacuated anybody.
No.
But we are at the end of our time. I want to thank you for joining me, Paul.
Well, it's a pleasure, Patrick. And you can, anybody listening, you can join my show on, it's a new time of Saturday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 Eastern. And I made contact today with Phil Giraldi, so I'm hoping that I can arrange to have him on Saturday. If not, I'll try and get him on the following Saturday. But, you know, he's an ex-CIA guy, and I've also heard him allude to the tribe as well, which is interesting. Maybe I can expand on that if I get a chance to speak to him.
He's a big deal. He's in his mid-70s, so his CIA career was way long ago, and he has spent the past at least like 4 decades or so exposing a whole lot of bad stuff. He is a heroic figure, so that would be great. I will definitely tune into that. But anyway, thank you, Paul, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.